Hello, everybody. Nice to see you guys. Quick announcement. We're going to have a youth group on Friday at 6 o'clock here. And it's going to be fun. We're planning on having a Nerf war. So, Nerf war. So, you bring your Nerf gun if you have one. All right. So, this message that I feel like God put in my heart, It's a hard one, and it's hard for me to preach this. It's hard for me to teach this, but I think it's important for us to know this. It's important for us to be aware of things that can happen. I was in this state a few weeks ago. I felt dull. I felt not sharp, I guess. So that's what I'm going to be talking about staying sharp. All right, if we could turn to Ecclesiastes 10:10. I believe we have the scriptures up here too. It says, if a tool is dull and no one sharpens its edge, the work will be harder. The advantage of this wisdom is this: it brings success. This happens to every single one of us at one point in our life. If it doesn't, awesome. But I believe that it does. There's always a point in our life where we lose our spiritual edge. We become dull. God wants us to stay sharp, because if we stay sharp, it says it right there. The work will, it doesn't say it right there. It says it the reverse. It says right there that if we stay sharp, it's going to be easier. If we're dull, it's going to be harder. We kind of switched it around. But some versions, instead of tools, say axe. I've never used an axe to cut down a tree. I've never. I've used a chainsaw before, though. That can be dangerous if you don't know how to use one. And advice for people out there, just don't ever, ever give a 15-year-old the job of cutting down a tree with a chainsaw that's never used a power tool before. I almost died, like 3 times. But I have cut little logs, and I've just chopped them. It was the most unpleasant thing I've ever done, I think. It was not fun. I hear people saying, oh, cutting wood, it's so relaxing. It's like, no, it's not. It's a lot of work, and it's hard. I didn't know about axes back then. I was maybe 15-ish, maybe even younger. I didn't know about axes, so I was just using the axe we had there. I don't think it was very sharp. I think it was just really dull. And so that way, it was so hard to cut the axe. And then maybe I thought, oh, maybe it's just because I'm weak and I'm not that strong. So my neighbor friend, we hanged out all the time together. He was a lot stronger than me. And he tried, and he couldn't either. He couldn't cut he could, but it was it was not very cutting very well. But one thing I do have a little bit more experience in is knives, thanks to Tom. Knives, when they're sharp, they cut really easy. You don't have to force to cut. The way I learned is with the sandwich. When you use a dull knife and you cut the sandwich, you're going to squish the sandwich and possibly break it, and it's not going to look pretty. But if it's sharp, it cuts right through it, just glides right through it. When it's dull, you have to use a ton of force to push it down. When it's sharp, you could use one hand. This is kind of embarrassing, but I've cut myself using a dull knife on the opposite end of the dull knife. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So you're pushing down the knife like that, and I've cut my hand on this side, on the non-dull end. It's dangerous not to have a sharp knife. It's dangerous having a dull knife. And I've read, this is a little explanation for that, is I've read that dull knives are more dangerous than sharp ones. And I could honestly say I've never cut myself with a sharp knife. I've cut myself with a dull knife, and not even the blade part. Dull knives, they rip through whatever you cut. I was going to bring up paper and knives and all that stuff. I was like, that can be dangerous. But dull knives, I tried it at home just to make sure to refresh myself. Dull knives, I was cutting paper with a dull knife, and what it did, it just ripped it. It ripped it. It wasn't a pretty cut. It was ripped a bunch, all kinds. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. But when I used a sharp knife, it made a perfect, as perfect as I can make a cut. I don't have really straight hand, like go straight. But it was a smooth cut. It wasn't ripped. It was just nice and smooth. Now let's bring it back to us now. So think of it how we're supposed to be spiritual most of the time. Well, all the time. Most of the time. All the time. How our relationships are going to be if we're not spiritually sharp? How are our relations going to be if we're dull, if we're spiritually dull? We could hurt our relationships being dull. A tool, if an axe or a tool or a knife loses its sharpness, it's not good anymore. It's basically useless. Some of us might throw it away. Some of us might sharpen it. Depends what kind of knife it is, I guess. But our God is not the same as us. He's going to sharpen us. He's going to work on us. If we think we are useless, if you think that you are dull, God could still use you. He's still not done with you. As long as you're on this earth, as long as you're breathing, as long as you have that heartbeat, you have a purpose for being here. You cannot get out of it. You have a purpose. There's no negotiating. You're part of God's plan now. There's no negotiating it. So if you feel like you've lost your edge, like you make so much effort, you work so hard, but you feel like you're making very little spiritual progress, God wants us to grow. Need more room. If we feel like we're not making progress, it's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to stay stagnant. He wants us to grow and grow. Our God restores. He restores what we thought was dull, what we thought was useless. He's restoring us. And you're thinking, well, yeah, this might be me, but I'm not entirely sure. I'm gonna go through a quick couple points of signs, I guess, that maybe you're not where you're supposed to be. One is you don't recognize the voice of the Spirit, or it's not clear. Something that was once clear, something that was once that you were able to feel it in your heart guiding you, now you're starting to doubt it. Now you're starting to maybe, is it sure it's that way? Matthew 13, 14, and 15, it says, indeed, in their case, the prophecy as Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears, they can barely hear. Their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, I will heal them. Hebrews 5:11 kind of resonates the same message. About this, we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. If we hear with our physical eyes, if we hear with our physical ears, but we don't understand in our hearts, if we see but don't understand what God is doing. It says, the way I understand this, it says, if we become dull, we won't understand what God is doing in our lives, in the community, in church. We won't understand what's going on. And if this is starting to feel like I'm kind of poking at you, I really don't know any of your guys' spiritual lives and states, so I'm not. If this is you, go ahead and just ask God, ask him right here, right now, to open up your eyes and ears so you could see what he's trying to tell you, so you could see what he's trying to do, so you could hear what he's trying to say to you. Yes, Lord, open our ears, open our eyes, Lord, so we could see you. Another one is Loss of usefulness. There's many times in, I guess, past year or so, more or so, that there's times where I feel completely useless. That I feel like if I would just mosey on somewhere else, disappear, nobody would even notice. But that's a lie. That's a lie that the devil was trying to put in my head. And the same way, it's a lie that he's trying to put in you. Revelation 14, 14 through 16. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Seated on the cloud was one with a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle on his hand. Another angel came out to the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is fully ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped." The sickle won't work if it's not sharp, right? What happens if a sickle is not sharp? What happens? Yeah, it doesn't work. Will bend the crop. Am I right? Like, just imagine. I imagined when I was reading the scripture. Could you go back? I imagine like this whole scene. Like it's about to be all majestic and all powerful. I just pictured it. I pictured Jesus coming up. He has the sickle. He's on his glory. The sickle's all going all powerful. It's like all dramatic. He's going. He's going to cut the harvest. But the sickle is not sharp. And then all of a sudden, I noticed just the crops just fall, just bend, just break. They weren't harvested. The sickle is the church. It's me. It's you. It's us. The harvest is the people who don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. If we're not sharp, we're just going to bend the people. We're not going to harvest them. We're not going to lead them to Jesus. It's sad. Like, I'm like starting, I feel kind of like tearing up. But it's true. We'll just hurt them more than we'll help them if we're not spiritually sharp. I know that was kind of deep, but... but we can gain it back. Amen? That's our God that restores. Our God that he gives us our hope back, our joy back. He gives it back to us. 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7. How do we get it back? All right, so let's go ahead and read this little section. It says, why do I have a different... all right. "Now the son of the prophets said to Elijah, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge, it's too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, I'm going to assume that's cutting a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And then he said, "Take it up." And so he reached out his hand and took it. Let's go back to the beginning of that verse. There's something very important here. I don't know, for some reason I like climbing up here and doing this. Where is it? This part. What if I fall? Right. This part. What does it say? Each of us. Does that mean just the pastors? No, just the leadership went. No, each of us. Each one of them. Some versions said that these were students under Elijah. People who Elijah was basically... pastoring. All of these guys said, "Hey, we need a place to stay." So, and then they said, "Okay, so go." Each of us. So everyone pulled their weight. Let everyone. Some versions say, like the version I have here, said, "Let everyone take a beam." Staying sharp is not just, like I said, just for the leadership, but it's for everyone. Growing is for everyone. Christ wants every one of us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay babies forever. Yeah, babies are nice, but I think after a while you get tired of changing their diapers. Yeah, babies are beautiful and all that, but sometimes you're like, won't you grow up a little bit more? Like, take care of yourself now? No, just kidding. No, but no, for reals though. Growing is for everyone. There's no buts. Everyone. You're not excused. Like I said before, you're not excused from being part of God's plan. Every single one of you guys has a purpose for being here. Sometimes you may feel like you don't, but you do. So in verses 4 and 5, I think I have it right there, actually, separated. It says, so he went with them, and then they came to the Jordan. They cut down the trees, but as one was doing whatever with the log, his axe fell head into the water. Axe head fell into the water. At first, you think, how the heck does that happen? He's working over here with his axe. How does it fall magically in the river? Well, I kind of had a situation like that when I was cutting logs, when I was cutting the pieces of tree, whatever it was, I forgot, it was logs. I was cutting them with the axe, and while I was going, it didn't work. Something like that, and then the thing flew off. I was cutting, I wasn't really paying attention. I was just going as hard as I can. I was trying to finish it quickly, and the axe head just flew out. That was me. So I kind of have an idea of how that happened. I could see the guy cutting the tree, and all of a sudden he goes to swing it again, and it's basically just hitting a bat on the tree. If you've never done that before, don't go out and try it. It hurts. I've done that before. I was a kid once. How do we lose our spiritual edge? So a lot of Christians are going to say, this is you're outside of God's will. Well, let's talk about this guy for a little bit. First of all, let's kind of put ourselves in his shoes. It says that right here, it says that at last, my master, it was borrowed. So he did not have an axe. That's safe to say, right? Since it was borrowed, it was not his, right? So he traveled. He maybe he left his family, maybe he left everything behind, went to follow Elijah. He left everything, didn't have nothing, and was following Elijah because he thought that's where he was supposed to be. All right, and so then we say, well, how I was saying that some people are going to say, when you're outside of God's will, that's when you lose your spiritual edge. Well, this guy was where Elijah was. He asked Elijah, the whole group asked Elijah, do we go? And Elijah said, yes, go. But not only does Elijah just sends them, Elijah even goes with them. So he knows right now that is a will, that is a plan, that is a move of God. But what happened, but was most likely what happened to this guy and his axe, they were in the will of God, but he probably did not take care of his axe. The axe, the wood, probably became dry. He also, since it was his axe, I could guarantee you that he did not practice his axe with his axe. He did not know how to use it. In the same way, we could be in the move of God, but if our hearts become dry, do you guys understand where I'm going? Like, he didn't have practice with the axe. It wasn't his. He did not know how to use it. Use your gifts that God has given you. If you don't use them, you're not going to know how to use them. He lost his edge. Did he keep swinging after he lost the edge? Does it say that he kept trying to cut down the tree with all his might? No, he didn't. So why do we so often keep swinging when we lose our spiritual edge? We started to try to use our own strength instead of what God designed to do, what we're trying to do with our own strength. All right, let's go to church just all the time, will go to all the services just so nobody will know the state of my heart. I'll just go through the motions. I'll raise my hands at the right time. I'll say the amen at the right time, moment. I'll stand up when the pastor says to stand up. I'll just go through the motions. But there's no progress at all. You're just swinging the wooden handle at the tree. 2 Kings 6:5. The guy didn't just keep swinging. He went to somebody who heard the voice of God. He went to the prophet. The prophet was God's representative. If you wanted to hear from God, you went to the prophet. And he would give you a word from God. Today, we have direct access to God as individuals. We can go to Jesus. We can go to the Master, Jesus, the only one who can restore our edge, the only one who can restore us to our full capabilities. We need to get our eyes off of man and keep our eyes on Jesus. Put them back on Jesus. It will never get better if we never go to Jesus. So the same things, we gotta admit that we lost our edge. We gotta keep our eyes on Jesus and take responsibility. The axe head didn't magically fall off. It wasn't properly maintained. So you don't go blaming so-and-so for throwing your axe head in the river. Because if you're using it, there is no way anybody could have gotten close to that axe. The same way, you could not blame Satan for taking your axe and throw it in the river. Because if you're using your axe and he reaches for that axe, his hand's going to get chopped off. Right? Has anybody ever reached for an axe when somebody's swinging it? I don't think any of you guys want to. When we're using our spiritualness, our spiritual gifts, Satan can't take them away. He cannot. He has no dominion over that. The only way that he could possibly take them away, if we don't use them. The only way that I could see in this situation that Satan threw the axe head in the river was if the guy put the axe head down and went somewhere else. He put the gift he had down and he left it alone. Never used it. Then there was no, there's no supervision. Nobody was watching it. There was nobody taking care of it. So what happened was it was taken away. That's the only way that I could see that Satan could take away your axe if you're not using it. So then it goes back. It's still my responsibility for that. I think sometimes we give the devil too much credit. I honestly think that. He's not capable of doing anything. When we give him credit for doing something, he goes, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to do. No, but he doesn't deserve the credit, so he won't get the credit. Where did we lose it? Where did you lose it? He went back to where we lost it, and he told Elijah where he lost it. Go tell God where you lost your edge. Go tell God go take him to the place where you lost the edge. Maybe not physically. Maybe don't go, yeah, I went exactly at this street corner and this and here. That's exactly where I lost it. Maybe, but that's not what I'm talking about. Tell God where you lost it, where you got offended, where somebody offended you, when you started watching a TV show, when you maybe watched too much TV, maybe when you started playing too much video games, maybe so-and-so, whatever people do these days. I really forget. If you can't remember where you lost it, God knows, and ask him, and he will tell you. I can guarantee it. He will tell you. This is the part that I think this is my favorite part. I like when I saw this, I kind of laughed to myself. All right, now go to the next verse. All right, it says right here, Elijah cut off a stick and he threw it in the water. At first glance, I was like, that is the most random thing to throw in the water. It's like Elijah didn't know what else to grab. It was like, a stick. What I pictured was like, Elijah's all calm, just walking around looking. He grabs a stick. And maybe the other guys are all, ooh, that's a good idea. He's probably going to get the stick, move the axe so we could poke the axe closer to us. Then we could just pick it up. But that's not what he does. He throws the stick in the water. And so I could see all the people that are around, all confused, are like, what the heck is he doing? He just threw a stick in the water. Well, the stick represents the cross. Jesus was crucified for us, and it's enough to restore all our problems, to restore our spiritual state. And he, the cross, God, is the only thing that's going to be powerful enough to restore us. We could say, Jesus, I believe that your work on the cross was enough to restore me. You have to say that. We have to say that as a group. I believe that your work on the cross was enough to restore me. You know what? Let's go ahead and say it. Jesus, I believe that your work on the cross was strong enough to restore me. I almost believed you guys. Maybe Jesus believed you guys. Our God is a miracle-working God. There's one right here. Piece of iron float by throwing a stick in the water. Has any of you guys tried that? I kind of want to try it now. It won't work. So it doesn't matter if you're lost, you're super messed up, or you messed up too many times. God is a God of restoration and miracles. So if you think it's going to take a miracle for you to God use you, guess what? He's in the job of doing miracles. So we're going up to it. Now the spiritual thing came out. The gift came out, right? The axe came up. And then something that I think a lot of us forget to do. Go to verse 7. He reached out his hand and took it. I think that's where a lot of us forget to do. We forget to reach out and grab what God has given us. It's a very important part. I'm not going to say it's the most important, but it's kind of important. We got to reach out and grab it. It's available to us. We got to reach out and grab it. My uncle, who was gave me the task of cutting the logs with the axe, I thought I had gotten off of doing the job when the axe head flew off. I was like, yes, I don't have to do it anymore. He came and he goes, why'd you stop? Well, the axe head flew out over there. Well, go get it. I'm going to show you how to fix it. And so he showed me, he put it on top. He like banged it on the floor a couple times. And then he soaked it in water. Wedge in between. From what I understood was the water made the wood swell and caused it to get a little bigger. And the axe head could not move anymore. Guess what water represents in the Bible? The Spirit of God, the mighty rushing river of God, can restore your spiritual state. So if you feel like you've lost your edge, admit it. Keep our focus on Jesus. Tell Jesus that you believe in his power, in his miracles, and reach for it. And this applies to anything. This applies to anything in our lives that we feel that we have lost. Joy, peace, love, health. God is going to pull that out of us. He's going to pull it out of the impossible. And all we have to do is reach out and reach it. Reach out and reach it and grab it and take hold of it and cherish it and maintain it. And it's ours. If we could stand up. Feeling a little prayer coming on. If any of this rings in your heart, if any of this just resonates in your heart, take a time and just start thanking God for his cross, for his power. Lord, here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Lord, those of us in our hearts that have admitted that we that we are not falling to what the fullness of what you have called us. Help us keep our focus on you. Help us keep our focus on you, God. Jesus, we believe in your power, in your almighty power, Lord. Lord, come, come, come restore our spiritual lives. Come restore our lives, Lord. Come restore us. Come restore us to what you have called us to do, what you have called us, Lord. You have called us for miracles. You have called us for a divine purpose, Lord. Come and fill us. Let us take hold. Let us, Lord, let it be within our reach as we reach out and grab it, Lord. Let us grab that joy, grab that love, grab that peace, grab the healing that we need, Lord. Let us grab it. Let us reach out and grab it, Lord. Because we know we are in your will, Lord. Being here, right now, in your presence, Lord, we are in your will. Because your will is for us to be with you. And here we are with you, Lord. So we are in your will. So forgive us for putting our axe down, for putting our spiritual gift down. And Lord, we raise our acts, we raise our gift, and we're going to start using it, Lord. We declare that we will start using it. Lord, thank you for all you've done.